Rules of engagement. I want to say something to you first of all about veterans. There has never been a time in American history to where the fighting men and women have ever lost a war. Has never happened. What people call losing the war was not caused by the fighting men and women of our nation, but by the politicians back in Washington, D.C., who says these are the rules of engagement. I remember well in Vietnam, President Johnson, the order comes down, do not fire unless you're fired upon. Jungle, Chu Lai, Vietnam, anywhere throughout the war zone, the theater itself. Don't fire unless you're fired upon. War is war. And let me tell you, war is hell. The visions will never leave you. Many of our men, and I don't know whether they have women that retired from service or not, these men and women dedicated the best part of their life to defend the best nation God had ever placed on planet Earth. And then they were rejected. Vietnam was a horrible time period for our nation. You know, I don't ever remember anybody asking me, do you want to go to Vietnam? Best I recall in the Marine Corps in those days, it wasn't even just an order. You just knew whoever, platoon leader, company commander, whoever, if they were walking toward something, you walked with them. Rules of engagement, handed down by people, many who had never, ever seen combat. I love veterans. I love being a veteran. I love the heart of a veteran. It's unselfish. You see the picture in your mind. War never ends for a veteran. The veteran may be unable any longer to even walk. Many can't talk. The war never ends for a veteran. The nightmares come when you don't expect them. And you look at the brokenness of the spirit of men and women who their biggest crime, they say, they stood for the freedom of the United States of America. It always reminds me of, most of you kids will never know what a Western is. All of us old people, some of us real, real old people, we were. A Western was the cowboys, and you know, the cowboys and the Indians, well, that's not proper anymore. You can't do that. Gosh, you can't even play football by using it, or any other team. You and I need to understand something. The one who declared war first is God Almighty. Read the Word of God. And war began in heaven. Oh, by the way, God won. Still is. And He says to us, whoever follows me, I will watch after. Where I am, I want you to know that I'm inviting you to be there. Oh Lord, we want you over here. But over there, we're going to die. We're going to lose. When God says, over here, follow Him. Listen to Him. But I don't see how it will work. That's thankful that you don't. If you could understand it, God wouldn't be God. God, you know, God didn't ask my permission. He gave me permission. I invite you, Larry, to accept my son. The very one, the greatest warrior of all, Jesus Christ. For he did not fight in the battle to destroy their human existence, but to save it. It is Jesus, the greatest of all commanders, who has told us time and time and time again, all the way to the depth of who we are, I love you. And I've shown you how much I love you. Well, it's good to praise God. It's good to shout hallelujah. But it's better to follow him. God says, I am giving you an opportunity for the peace of a lifetime. Inner peace. When you can walk in a situation where there's nothing but hatred and bitterness, and I will allow my peace that surpasses all understanding to cover you. You will smile at death because you cannot die. You can look at the threats of the world and know they have no authority. For God said, I have given you rules of engagement that will protect you, lift you up, and you have already won. Jesus won your heart for you. Jesus took my guilt for me, for you. And Jesus said, you're a mess, Larry, but you my mess. Do we understand what a great leader he is? I owe no man to bow before him except Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. One day, he's coming back. What's he going to see in the church? If God's children do not follow his rules of engagement, what's God going to say? What's Jesus going to say to us when he shows us we see the holes in his hands? What's the matter? We had to enjoy the humanness more than the spiritualness of Christ. God says, what's going on with you? I offer you peace that cannot be earned. I have saved you by my grace. I didn't save you because of your faith. I saved you because I'm gracious enough to let you know I created you. I love you. And then you plugged in, remember? That's the faith is the cable. Grace is the key. I don't know why God loves me. I know most of y'all. I sure don't know why he loves you. Think of it. That's the realm in which we live. Let me go over something. Again, remember rules of engagement. Does it make a lot of sense? You know, wouldn't it be great if I've got to go into combat that like in World War II, I'm supposing I'm not that old, but I am supposing that the key in World War II was win. Rule of engagement, win. I remember a great general was almost hogtied for shooting a mule and rolling off the bridge. Win! Let me tell you about winning. God's rules of engagement. Rule number one, Christian, you are commanded to love each other. I am commanded. Now don't you dare take him out. That's going to be a preacher. You let him shout, honey, thank you. That's some of the greatest hallelujahs I've heard in this church in a long time. The Lord says, out of the mouth of babes, you are commanded to love each other. You don't have to like me. I wish you did like me, but you don't have to like me. And whether you like me or don't like me, that has no power over me. But you are commanded by God to love me, so you might as well love me now, because you got to love me in heaven. Start early. Because it is a rule of engagement given to us by Almighty God. John 15, verses 13, 14, and 17. Listen to it. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Listen to what Jesus says. You are my friends if you do what I command. Okay, well, gosh, did we get back in the Ten Commandments? Had nothing to do with this. This is my command. See it? Love each other. That's the commandment for the New Testament church. Because everything focuses around the love of the heart. Not hatred and bitterness, but the love of the heart. Love each other. Folks, if Christians can't love each other, how is the world supposed to be convinced that they want to become Christian? That's what gossip does. Boy, don't ever start gossiping around your pastor. Whew. I just get hog slobbering mad when that happens. I don't think that's scriptural. But I can tell you this. It's the fact of human nature. Love each other. Rule number two. These are God's commands. He is not giving me a command to back off. Oh, you can't go here, Larry. You can't go. No! God says, I want you to love each other, for you're in a battle, and if you love your fellow Christian, you will never, ever leave a soldier behind, a warrior. You will get together and you'll go get him if 20 of you have to die. That's the key. It is the ideal of, look, if one of my fellow veterans, one of my fellow combat men and women is held in captivity, then let it take a whole nation to go deliver them. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus just didn't say, coming to me. He said, I'm coming to you first. You got it? I came under conviction by the Holy Spirit, not by a preacher. The preacher preaches God's word. I preach God's word. And if I don't, nail me on it. I preach God's word. That's as far as I can go. My calling is to be faithful to the word. I preach God's word. The Holy Spirit, the scripture says, convicts the heart. So let me tell you something. If God's word is preached and conviction is by the Holy Spirit, you tell me some place where it says, or show me that, where I have to entertain people. The world's doing enough of it, and the church is becoming so saturated with the world that we think, oh, the only hope for God's word is to do it the way of the world. The only hope for God's word to get to the heart of the human race is completely the opposite of the ways of the world. God says, I've called you, you preach. And your time is short in doing it. As a Christian, I understand something. This body will die, but I won't. I got a new one coming. I have no idea whether it has hair or not. I really don't think that it even matters one way or the other, does it? Knowing that I have Jesus in my heart, I look at my failures of the past, which are so many that I cannot even understand. Some I would look at and think, well, that's not me. I couldn't have done something like that. You know what I realize? You and I are human beings. We're still becoming what God wants us to be. That will not come to completion until you leave that body. Rule number two. If this is a command from God, don't you think maybe we ought to pay attention to the commands from God? Rule number two. You are commanded to hate evil. Gosh, I hear folk talking about today in political correctness. Oh, hate's a bad word. Well, oh, you ought to talk to God about it. As a Christian, I am ordered by God to hate evil and cling to good. Well, you just need to sort of nourish evil. No, I don't. I need to hate it. You know why God hates evil? Because it has attacked His children. Evil is continually attacking a child of God. And as the attack goes on, God speaks up against it. Now, if God speaks out against evil, don't you think we ought to? Oh, no, it's not evil because, you know, that was my family doing that. It had to be good. You've got to remember, Jesus' family thought he lost his mind when he was preaching. And they went to take him and pull him out of the way because they were embarrassed of his words. Well, do you know that Jesus Christ even claimed to be the Son of God? And the people said, but I know him. I know where he came from. I know where he grew up. You didn't know him. Romans 12, 9 through 13. And verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Rule number three. You are commanded to love beyond yourself. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know how you get in front of that mirror and you say, I just love me. I just love me. I love everything about me. You all have never done that, right? God says, I want you to have love outside of yourself. As prison chaplain for all those years, and continuing, it seems like, one of the hardest commandments I had was to love. And you go through whatever 30-some active years in the system, and you're looking, and you think, Lord, I really don't see anything love here. Then I realized something. When God says love, love. Oh, Larry, did you ever try to love them? Really? Just because you told me to love them? Got it? Yes. Because, as I told a bunch of preachers out of Hardin County years ago, who told me they didn't want that kind in their church, and I said, well, that's sad because they came from your church. And God looks at us and says, I created every individual. I did not make junk. I created the human race. And I created them to love me and me love them. Fellowship with God. So how can I pick and choose who gets the fellowship? Well, they're too poor. They're too rich. They're too this. They're not too anything. They're human beings. My job is not to get people saved, folks. My job is to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit takes over and the Holy Spirit convicts the heart. And if an individual has hardened their heart against God's Holy Spirit, what hope would you have as a human being of changing anything? Rule number three, remember, be devoted beyond self. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. The key there is make your fellow man look good. Make them look good. When you're around children, make their parents look good to that child. Not with your condemnation. Oh, I can't believe that your parents do this. I better never hear that ever said. Here, don't you feel like I'm back on the battlefield, Brother Noam? Sometimes. But you know who the war is against? Not flesh and blood, but the evil that is within it. Folks, your pastor loves you, but not as much as God does. I don't understand that kind of love yet, although I'm a recipient of it just like you. But he wants to see devotion to each other. When you hurt, I hurt. When you're joyous, I'm joyous with you. When you weep, I weep for you and with you. That's called brotherly love. That's the care and concern of the heart. Rule number four, this is your last one. You are commanded. See, these commands are coming from God. I ought to pay attention to them. You are commanded to be zealous in God's service. You got to get excited about preaching God's word. Be zealous. Understanding that if God created them, you are commanded by the same God to love his creation. Hate the evil that is pulling them in the wrong direction. But you better love that created human being. He was created in the image of God. She was created in the image of God. For service to him, not to you, to him. And you know there's many Christians in their calling that may very well be called to minister to only one person. Have you looked back on your life and wonder which one that was that you knew you should have went to? Have you noticed how many different times God has said, okay, you sure messed up on that one. Here's you another one. Here's you another one. Here's you another one. The human race may give up on God, but God will never give up on us. I'm a part of the army of God. God says to us, I love you. You know when we're pulled out on the battlefield that God pulls us on? God didn't pull us on a battlefield of spirituality to see how we could grasp it. He doesn't pull us out on the battlefield of life and then say, okay, I got you here. You're on the front lines. I need you to attack. Do you know what he's always done throughout his holy word? He has always wanted us to show up and watch him win the battles for us. He said, I just want you right there. You can be in the cheering section. Lord, I wish I could be there, but you don't understand the importance of this football game. Wouldn't it be something else if Christians got excited, as excited as those who really, really just seem to go crazy with UK, U of L, and all the other U's? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how that God's looking for a few good men? Oh, we got it, Tim. Right? Thank you. God said, I want you men, women, young boys, young ladies. I'm calling you to service. When God calls you to service, he will equip you for service. Get prepared. because you're going to watch all hell break loose. You already see it coming. Hell has been turned loose on planet Earth, but Jesus is coming. You know, I would hate not to be on the front lines when Jesus told me to be, and that happens to be the day he comes back. And you hear those words once again. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith in the church? I'm talking about faith in his Son within the church. Verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal. Excitement. You know, Brother Randy goes that hog slobbering wild too a lot of times. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Look at that. It drives me crazy when I hear Christians have been Christians for years and they see a young person who has accepted Christ, and I mean it's obvious they're on fire for the Lord. And they walk up to that young Christian and said, "Don't you worry about it, honey. It'll pass. I was excited like you was one time. It won't last." Gosh, don't ever say that in this church either, where the pastor can hear it. Be joyful in hope. Spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. God said, "Talk to me." The reason so many hit the bottom is because they're not talking to God. People can come to God's house and not talk to God. Especially Baptists. We've learned how to do it. You know, one of the biggest questions that's ever asked, I notice, within our society today is for one Baptist to say to another Baptist, "What church you go to now?" Our churches, the body is collapsing. But the collapse has to do with the lack of the Word of God preached. And more emphasis on self than on God. Verse 13. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You know, sometimes Christians can be the biggest grouches you'll ever find out in society. But it's the grouches that I've always gotten along with well. Yeah, absolutely. That's life. I appreciate and praise God for giving me the opportunity he's given me in over 40 years of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has been an honor to receive that calling. It will be an honor when that calling ceases. That can only happen when I leave this body. I don't need to preach in heaven. Too many families hurting. And we have the remedy. We have been entrusted with the Word of God. That is the remedy. That's the peace. Read it. Great book. Read Revelation all the way to the end. Jesus wins. Hard to see winners anymore. And I do believe that I have won over. And I've done it because I love you. I do not know any more than any of you do. From the time I walk out that door, whether or not that I'll ever be back. From those loved ones around us, we say goodbye to them of a morning, and we never think that we may not get to say hello that day. Then that day comes, and we soul search. Why didn't I say this? Why didn't I do that? Because of the human condition. That's what this battle is all about. Allowing the love of Christ to grab us. I've got to serve him till I quit breathing, possibly in this pulpit, if not in another. I want to go home serving Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for blessings and joy. Father, we certainly give you thanks for having patience with us. Forgive us once again for our failures. After a while, Father, when I call on you again, I'll say, forgive me once again for my failures. I recognize you as supreme, no one else. I ask, Father, for your holy boldness to continue to proclaim your truth until you say it's enough. I lift to you now each member of my congregation. You entrusted them to me, Father, to give them the truth. Forgive me where I faltered and failed. But I ask that special protection now upon them and their families. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, charge any wrong there might be to their pastor instead of them. For Father, we realize that each of us who've been called have given to your Son all the failures, paid in full, taken care of. Protect them, Father, each child, each member, with your everlasting arms. I ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.